Welcome to the eRealEstateCoach.com podcast, your place for the best new tips, tools, scripts, strategies, and tactics to reach your true potential as a real estate professional. Your host is RealTrends Top 500 broker, Jim Remley. Who is Jim Remley? Jim is a chocolate enthusiast, skier and snowboarder, beach club regular, speaker, author, broker, investor, and dad. Jim shattered sales records by listing over 150 properties in one 12-month period at age 20. At 24, he opened his first real estate company. Today, Jim leads one of the largest real estate firms in the state of Oregon, on track to close $1 billion in sales volume this year, and is the creator of the Path Performance Coaching Platform, a fresh, new, exciting approach to real estate coaching that is helping agents nationwide to achieve their true potential.
I'm with James Rember, and he is the founder of Digital Natives and an expert on all things related to the internet and the conversation around how we can get better and more effective in positioning ourselves in a place where we can not only create leads, but also create conversations. So welcome to the program, James. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. So just so people can kind of get to know you a little bit, kind of maybe give us just a quick background on your background.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I guess I started out selling real estate. I sold real estate for about a good 4 years solid. I did well enough that I was able to exit the industry. I still kept my team. It evolved into a brokerage. It's well over 200 agents at the brokerage right now. But I shifted over into marketing and kicked off an agency by the name of Digital Natives. And almost by understanding marketing, a nickname I picked up is the Zillow Killer, as we started to progress throughout the industry helping and help people understand. It's not a dislike for Zillow, it's just understanding the internet is bigger than Zillow. So, you know, overall, everything that we talk about, we discuss, that we do, I'm a practitioner on both sides. You know, I didn't fail out the industry. I chose not to sell real estate anymore, but I still kept into the business. And of course, I just believe that if you are putting a product out, you should be first partaker of the product. So I would be a fool not to still have a team or have some type of business in the real estate industry and just go straight into marketing and try and convince you that marketing works and I'm not using it, right?
I love it. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's a lot like coaching. If you're not out in the field trenches actually doing what you say and practicing what you preach, how can you sell it? You know, how can you sell your coaching platform? So I agree with you 100%.
Not at all. What is this rated PG? What do we rate at this?
We're like PG-13.
I'll keep it there. I got you. I always try to ask, right?
Yeah.
I drop the F-bomb, but sometimes I do talk.
Yeah, that's all right. Our audience can take it. They're all adults. So with that, kind of explain to us what do you do for clients? I mean, how do you approach this with your agency?
Well, it's more of I'm more focused on helping the industry understand how to do it for themselves than hire people, right? Yep. The goal behind what we do is, you know, my agency, we do it, right? But if I can help the industry understand how to do it for themselves, they don't need to hire somebody like me. If I can weaponize them on what the internet is, and if the industry would be willing to accept the ideology that the internet is a presence, not a destination. When we talk about things like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all these different channels, we don't view them as just social media. We understand that's part of the structure, right? But we see these channels as distribution, communication, and we understand that these channels amplify who we are, right? Yeah. But they have to be part of our business. It's not I'm going to or I'm thinking about. The internet is just the world we live in. And as long as we keep viewing the internet as a place, it's hard to accept what these channels can do for us. And then we're not willing to take the time to learn. Each channel has its culture. So that's why it seems complicated, because we just snowball it into one big, that's social media. No, that's Facebook. That's Instagram. They all have different ways of how people consume content and how we communicate and how we're able to engage. But as long as we stay ignorant to that idea, that understanding, it's always going to be complicated, right?
Yeah. I think that's interesting. I think it's like going to a different city. Every city's unique. Every city's got a different flavor to it, a different, just a whole different culture. Yeah.
That's because there's different people on them, right? It's not even just demographics or age. We have everything, ethnicity, everything that's inside these different platforms, but the platforms in itself has developed a way that people can consume the content. You know, we say YouTube and first thing we think is, oh, that's the video network, and it's not. Video is just how the communication or the information is being broadcast. It's a search engine, right? So it's just be willing to learn what these platforms are and how we can properly use them. But until we can accept that the internet is the presence, it doesn't matter what we talk about when we say, well, you can do this here, you can do that. We only hear how many houses can I sell?
Yeah.
And we're so consumed with the cash flow and forget to build a business. You know, talking deeper, that's why so many agents will sell real estate for 10, 20, 30 years and just stop.
Yeah.
Have nothing to show from it. Never built a business. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. Just stop. So it's just an interesting way to understand that the internet has given us that I guess it's like the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. If we utilize it, because that's the world we live in, not the industry, but the world we live in, if we were willing to use it at least at a portion of its capacity, we understand that our business can really, really thrive, not cash flow. Cash flow is part of it, but we can actually build the business. And we've never lived in a day that we live in now where communication is so accessible now. Like we can talk to anybody, anywhere, safely, at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How interesting. Yeah. I just was talking to somebody right before this podcast about TikTok, and she happens to have gone on TikTok a year ago. And now has 400,000 followers on TikTok because she understands who she's talking to, exactly what you're talking about, and her audience there. And she understands that platform, which I think is interesting. And do you think it's so we all kind of have our let's call it ourselves, our brand. We have a brand, we have a message. Do you think we're changing our message for each platform, or are we just adapting the way we're delivering the message?
Just the delivery, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned TikTok and people will hear TikTok. And the one thing I try to help people understand the features and the benefits versus the platform itself, right? If I say TikTok, we can get a weird perspective from it. We think, well, I got to dance, I got to sing, it's for young people, it's for kids.
Yeah.
And what we haven't realized, TikTok is the way of the future in reference to vertical content, short form.
Yep.
And it's evolving into every platform, same way that ephemeral did, where when we say ephemeral and Snapchat came out, people was like, well, what is this? Right. Mm-hmm. But now every platform offers stories, which is ephemeral, right?
Yeah.
TikTok musically evolved into TikTok. TikTok blew up throughout the pandemic. It validated that people were interested in short form content. So what happened? The internet monitored, understood, and adapt it. Now we have IG Reels, we have YouTube Shorts, we have LinkedIn coming up. So it's just the evolution of how content is being distributed, but the platform itself, it just evolved where it's creating new forms for the internet. Like the internet is, I mean, we don't really know what the internet is in fullness, right? Because it's at a place where it's not just evolving, but it's growing. Right. Mm-hmm. It's becoming something that is either uncontrollable, or we just don't know what we're building now, because it's always learning. And as it begins to progress, we just have to be willing to accept the progression. So things like TikTok comes into place. And before we dismiss it and say, that's not for me, just pay attention to the structure and what's adapting with the structure, right? We go from TikTok, IG Reels, YouTube Shorts is in public beta, LinkedIn has its channel coming out. So it's just the internet.
Yeah, I think that, so with the number of platforms, this is a sheer number of platforms, because I think some agents will get at a kind of a granular level, they'll get overwhelmed with content creation. Mm-hmm. Do you see content being created and then chop into segments that can be used on all these platforms? Or do you think making platform specific content is what we should be doing?
It has to be platform specific, but we don't have to do them all, right? We say pick one, go deep, and then migrate, right? If it helps to get perspective of how the platforms are structured, you got YouTube, you got Instagram, you got LinkedIn, that's all interruption based, right? TikTok hasn't opened up any type of advertisement for that yet. But then we move into, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, interruption base. YouTube, Google, all of that is search base, right? So just to put that in perspective, anything that's interruption based requires entertainment. It requires that stoppability. It requires people to that pattern interrupt to make you pay attention because no one's there for that. But yeah. things that are search based, intent is higher and the search falls in line to the needs and wants of what a person is looking for. So YouTube search, you know, Google My Business search, you know, so when you think of that, that's how you want to structure the content. So when you think of interruption versus search, when you build things that are search based, you need to be providing or putting content out based off the need, right? Yeah. A solution base. Mm-hmm. Everything else can be entertaining. It could be fun, right? It still needs to be, we still need to give information, but we have to be able to entertain before we can educate when we talk interruption. And when we think about search base, we need to think of solutions. What are problems that you run into? What are some issues that's happening in your community? I mean, we have a lot to talk about just in our current environment with the pandemic. There's some things open, some things not open. We can be leaders in our community just off of that, right? Because we all know all news outlets are biased in a sense of what they put out. Mm-hmm. So the communities are looking for leaders to lean into. All you got to do is lead your community. But then it comes into what type of, how do we do that? Video is essential. It's unavoidable. We can say, no. Video is essential. There are two ways that people are consuming content. Video and audio. The most intuitive way to get your information out is going to be video. But because it's so practical, we dismiss it, right? It's on our phone. It's like, I'll get to it later. But we fail to realize when we talk about conversation, video is conversation at scale. Right. I can give perspective. I can give context. Scripture says out of the mouth speaketh the heart. I can hear you. Right. I can see you. There's something I can attach myself to versus a static image or some copy. Mm-hmm. That's subjective. You can't make any sense of that. So if we really, really want to thrive with the internet, every platform has adapted to video and made it priority. If you want to succeed, and this is without advertising, let's just talk about the marketing side, because advertising, marketing, two different things, right? Mm-hmm. Just the marketing side, the free components, just a little sweat equity, just some consistency. If we're willing to do video and really, really take the time to learn the culture, I'll give you the manifesto of the internet. It's very simple. The ROI of the internet is about resonating, omnipresence, and intimacy. That's the ROI of the internet. If you can lean into those three core components, it does not matter what you sell anymore. Even proof. There are people right now coaching the industry right now, right? Yeah. That are major coaches that have never sold real estate, but they live inside that core component right there, resonating, omnipresence, and intimacy. We never challenge them.
Right. Just,
what does it cost to coach me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost insane to be coached by somebody that's never done it, but we don't challenge that because that's just how the internet lives, right?
Wow. Very interesting. I think what you're saying with the video too is what's interesting about the difference between if we sat down just in the 15 minutes we've been talking and tried to write down what you just said, and you've given us like a college level dissertation about the internet in just 15 minutes. I mean, it would take, you know, hours for us to do that, but you've communicated it in 15 minutes on video like that. And the speed at which we can deliver information is so much different and so much more powerful, really. It's very interesting when you think about it from that perspective.
It's easier to digest, right?
Right, easier to digest, yeah, for sure.
They say we buy from the people we listen to the people we like, but we buy from the people we love. That's why a lot of brands that we invest in, we don't need to see advertising to trust it anymore. We don't need to see a Nike commercial to know that Nikes are good.
Right.
You know, we don't, we haven't seen, I mean, when the last time you've seen an Adidas commercial?
Never.
But you would trust it to work in that vein of athletic footwear. We trust it, right? Yeah. And that's the power of when you have created a message, one, that people love. Second, that's branding at its finest. And that's the same access we have with the internet.
And really anybody can do this with, you know, very little cost. If you talk about what you're doing, because a lot of what you're talking about, you haven't spent a nickel yet on advertising, right?
Talking everything free.
Everything free. It's all. So I love the idea that you just talked about a minute ago. There's a difference between marketing and advertising. Marketing is centered on these three things, but advertising is you spending the money, which is what everybody gets caught up in, right?
Well, that's why I do what I do, right? Yeah. The message that we try and help people understand is marketing is essential. Advertising is a luxury. It's not a necessity. When you understand that marketing and advertising is broken into three levels, right? You have top of funnel, mid funnel, and bottom funnel, right? When we talk about top of funnel, that's all about attention, awareness, and engagement. That's all marketing. That's all we're trying to do is get people to know who Jim is. No Jim service this area. No Jim is a good dude. No Jim is whatever, right?
Yeah.
Then we get them to engage with us. When they're engaging, we're talking, right? And based off the engagement, we can learn what the needs and wants are, right? That's like data building, if we want to get it real analytical. That's data building now. We're learning what the needs and wants are based off the incoming data, how they're communicating. You can only advertise to the needs and wants. That's it. That's mid-funnel. Now we get to the mid-funnel. We talk about advertising. Advertise amplifies Jim's message that he put at the top of the funnel. You do not advertise unless you've built some awareness. And that's the misconception that the industry have been told for years. You need to advertise. You need to advertise. And we're advertising to who? All we gave them was a direction, geographic, and a budget. And now this is when you hear people say, I have 3,000 leads. What do I do with them? You shouldn't have 3,000 leads. We're talking about conversations. You should be having conversations, not leads. Leads are a byproduct. But if we started at the top of funnel, where we built attention, awareness, and engagement, right? Based off the engagement, you will be able to learn who to properly advertise to because they're already talking to you. Mm-hmm. And the bottom of the funnel, which what everybody wants, are conversions. You can get conversions just by marketing yourself correctly, simply doing videos consistently. Right. And listening how people are engaging with you. Trust me, they'll talk to you. They'll talk back and forth to you. Right. But the misconception that the industry have been fed for years is here's a CRM. Here's a website. Here's the IDX. What is your budget? And we spent money there and we generated tons and tons of leads and nothing we can do with it. So our only stance at that point is the internet leads don't work. Internet leads suck. And we use the internet every day. How can it suck? And it's something that we use to communicate every day. The problem is, and the only thing I can say is I charge to these industries that have done that. I charge it to their head, not their heart. I want to assume that they didn't know, not that they knew, took our money and have us spent thousands and thousands of dollars to generate leads, knowing that they were supposed to build awareness first. Mm-hmm. I want to say that they didn't know, right?
Right.
But if we don't like Zillow,
yeah,
we should have a problem with all of these software companies that's doing that. If you're with a software company and they say to you, here's your website, here's your IDX, let's advertise for you. And don't say, before we advertise, let's build awareness first. And then we advertise, they're a problem as well.
Wow. So good. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. And I think that's why when we talk about Zillow and the fact that the industry has sold 200 million leads or something last year to agents, and agents are spending $100 to $200 a lead, and now they're complaining that their lead conversion is dropping. It's speaking to exactly what you're talking about here.
Where awareness.
No awareness, no trust. You know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, they're just become a commodity of one agent among 1,000 who might call them today, and there's no relationship with them, no conversation.
And every software has adapted that same behavior. Every last one of them. We can go down a list. We can list it down a list. My only thing is I have nothing against the software company. I have a problem with the structure. If they're not telling you, whoa, 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 before I take your money, let's build awareness first. Because awareness is based, and once I get awareness, I can get engagement. And off that engagement, I know what the needs and wants are. The needs and wants are the only thing that I can advertise to. I don't care about the geographic. I don't care about the budget. I need to know who am I talking to, not assuming. I can definitively know that he or she is talking back to you because I can see it. That's the conversation. That's him. That's her. That it's right there. We don't go on Nordstrom or Macy's, these stores, and shop online. And then, or we go to these different, these different sites, right? And after we leave those sites, maybe we looked at shoes or something we like. We don't see advertisement until after we have left. Because now I know who I'm talking to. We do not see advertising prior to. Very rarely you'll see adverts or advertising for something that major, that specific, unless they know who they're talking to. We again, like I said, we've had so many people come into our industry and they throw out buzzwords, you know, algorithms and retargeting without giving clear perspective. And the amazing part about just that simple term of retargeting, retargeting is advertisement. Advertisement is retargeting. That's it. That's all it is. There's no alchemy to it. I market. After I market, I learn the needs and wants. The needs and wants give me the data to retarget, which retargeting is the advertising, which leads me to higher engagement because they know who Jim is. They're engaging with Jim. I've taken the time to gain some understanding of who I am till I move them to a place where I'm talking to enough that they fall in love with me enough that they're willing to do business with me, which puts me at a place of conversation and conversions. That's the game.
That's it. So what's interesting, and I think it's a little bit back to starting with awareness, then starting with the ground zero. We all start with services. We start with the product. We start with whatever. That's not really what we need to do.
Not at all. We have everything we need. Pick a platform,
right?
Pick a platform and get okay doing videos. That's it. Simple as that. That's, and it, you know, people like, well, no one knows who I am. That's why you have to do more videos. It's just what it is. Like, I would love to say you can just jump out and, you know, and some people have the biggest, I tell you what, Jim, the biggest fear people have with videos is it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that's entrepreneurship. That's what makes entrepreneurship so amazing. The uncertainty, the being uncomfortable, the growth. That's entrepreneurship. Now, if you just want to be entrepreneurial, don't do the videos. It's okay. Right. But don't complain when you realize you start to live at this place of feast or famine. But you guys that are entrepreneurs get very uncomfortable because that's entrepreneurship.
I think I heard a quote one time that entrepreneurs live in the risk zone. And that's exactly
always
what I'm saying. You got to risk. You got to be in the risk and got to be willing to take a risk in order to
always
grow. Yeah.
That makes a difference, you know, and that's part of the problem with our industry. We've just been told cash flow and be number one. And it's just weird. The scary part is, like I said, there's so many people that's in our industry right now. It's probably listening to this, going to sell for 10, 20, 30 years. Right. And I'm just going to talk frank. And in 10, 30 years, they're just going to stop. They ain't have shit to show from what they did in them 30 years. Nothing.
Yep.
No business, no legacy, nothing. And if you're building a business that die when you die, what is the point?
Right. There's no point. Absolutely no point. No, and nothing to sell, nothing to give away, nothing to give to anybody, right?
Nothing. Yeah. Scripture says a good man has enough wealth for his children's children. Just to be good, you have to be thinking about legacy.
Right.
It's fascinating that the industry have given us this amazing opportunity every day to build a business. But we have to take full responsibility every day to do that. Until we do that, we're still going to be okay. This is why we're okay with the next bell and whistle. How do I? Can you do it for me? I'd rather you learn it. Be willing to get uncomfortable and learn what's possible so you can really get to a place where people don't take advantage of you, because the unprepared will always get abused. As long as we're not willing to see what the internet is, there will be another Zillow that pop up. There will be the next software company. And we learn 3, 4, 6 months later, I've just been spending money. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I've been guilty.
We all have. You know, that's why I do what I do, right? The one thing I've made it a life mission that those in proximity of me will get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the faster we can get around people that are practitioners, the quicker we can smell when people are BSing us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that is so true. I think the thing that agents in general don't want to do is they don't want to dig in and really learn this stuff. And yet they learn MLS, they learn how to use Zip Forms and DocuSign, but they refuse to learn how to use Instagram. They refuse to learn how to use TikTok. They refuse to learn how to use LinkedIn. It's probably the number one. It is the number one way they can grow their businesses. They just got to dive into it and let go of the fear.
It's the, again, until we accept that the internet is a presence, not a destination, that's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a pull and push because we're seeing it as, well, I got to go online. I have, and you don't even realize you're always online. That's the world we live in, right? Yes. That's it. Unfortunately, for those that have a problem with this digital age, we cannot unring the bell. It's the world we live in. I'm not talking about the industry, but the world we live in is ran and moves through the internet. Everything. Banking. Look, 10 years ago, we talked about, you know, banking online. People's like, no. I'm pretty confident most people are sending and doing all their banking right from their phone. But 10 years ago, we couldn't trust that.
Right.
So it just shows the speed of, I mean, take a look at the, do you remember the cartoon, The Jetsons?
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing everything but flying cars right now.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's practical. Right. Yeah. But they have it. But we just, my point is the future is now. We're looking for this futuristic move. It is right now. We live in such an amazing day and time where if we choose to really, really get very, very intentional about growing our business and accept what the world is, absolute game changer, because it's not going to be the dreams that come true that we want. It's going to be the decisions that we make that do. And until we decide that, you know what? I know this is hard, but I need this.
Right. You have to do it. And otherwise, or you're not going to get to your end goal. It has to happen. What is one recommendation that you would have for someone that's wanting to, you know, start doing video and they've never done it before? Like what, because obviously video is a huge part of this. What's the first thing that they should do?
I always tell people to get used to hearing and seeing yourself. Right. That's the biggest problem. People, you know, you say, well, I don't like the way I sound. I don't like the way I look. Ain't nothing you could do about it. Right. This is what it is. Right. The same defects you think you see when you turn the video on is the same thing that exists when you're talking to people. That when people say that and they say, well, when I see myself on video, I hate the way I sound. You do. That's how you sound. Right. Yeah. It's almost like a kid or a child that, you know, think when he closed his eyes, he invisible, yeah. Right? You're right. Not invisible. It's the same defects are still there with the camera on or off. So get comfortable hearing and seeing yourself. And then get to a place where you're willing to be of service and really speak your truth, right? I mean, learning who yourself is important. I mean, like a lot of times people shoot videos and they just ramble. And they learn quickly, they don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's scary that we got people that's 40, 50, 60 years old, still don't have clarity of who they are as a person. But we can talk about, hey, if you go to Target and shop, you made a list for that, but you don't have a list for your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So getting used to hearing and seeing yourself is going to be the very first thing. Turn the camera on and give a welcome video. Talk to yourself, right? Talk to you nice. Go ahead, do it, right? Because you got to get used to hearing yourself because it's required. Yeah. And then you'll start to maneuver. And so we can get into strategies and techniques later, right? But that moving at the speed of implementation of doing it is always the problem. And people, you know, when we say do videos, I know it's uncomfortable. So that's why we're not jumping out, hey, do this type of video, that type of, that's irrelevant right now. Until you're willing to do the video, strategy and technique ain't gonna help you.
Right. I think too, one of the things that you find when you do a lot of video, like you're saying, you will figure out really quickly what you're strong at, what you're weak at.
You get better.
And you get better. You lean into your strengths really, really fast.
You get, I mean, it's like putting in the reps. You get better. We go to the same thing like going to the gym, you know, people go to the gym, whether they want to lose weight or gain weight. Right. But if you want to lose weight, you have to put in the reps. You can't go to the gym for 3 months and think you're going to lose the weight you put on, took you to put on for 30 years. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right? Never going to happen. Right.
Yeah, but the amazing part with video, people are listening to you. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to do is be you. Don't perform. Be who you are. Whatever it is, be who you are, right? And if you're willing to be yourself and be unapologetically yourself, I promise you the industry, or the market or whatever community, we will begin to adjust.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, anybody that's putting themselves out there is going to have an advantage. I think I just read a stat that was like 96% of agents will refuse to do video no matter what you tell them to do. And so you're now you've eliminated 96% of your competition right out of the gate if you just commit to it, right?
I have people that coach with me. I have one off the top of my head. She speaks Creole, so she had an accent, and she didn't want to do videos because she didn't like the way she sound, which, right, you know, we could do about that, right? But what was interesting, and this goes back to this kind of goes back to business. It's about leverage. Either you have it or you don't. It's a very unique thing when you have your multi-language. You can speak multi-languages. Mm-hmm. And she started doing video and got better, much, much better. And her business picked up, right? Prior to COVID, she did nothing. During COVID, she closed over 40 transactions just from videos. Wow. No money, wow. Not a dime. This is the head cracking part, Jim, is in November. I remember the date because it was when we were talking. Around mid-November, she did a video. She spoke in Creole. This is in Rhode Island. Now, you know, Rhode Island is an island. It's small.
Yeah.
She spoke in Creole.
Wow. Right?
She did it that Thursday or Friday. She reached out to me that Monday. That video had over 30,000 views, hundreds of comments, and probably close to 200 or so shares. And I can share you the video, just over 200 some shares from that one video. No money spent. Now, what happened from that is that was in November. She closed 5 transactions from that video, one video. Wow. She did a whole bunch after this. She closed 5 from that one video. She had close to 20 plus pre-approved letters from that. Not leads, letters, pre-approved letters from the Creole community. Now, who knew that there was an underserved Creole community just waiting for somebody to speak their language?
You'd never think in a million years. Not
Rhode Island. Exactly. Not a Rhode Island. If anybody comes in and speak Creole right now, it's gonna be very hard to compete with her. One, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
Two, she's gotten very comfortable speaking in Creole now.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, there is a market, there is a core set of your community that's waiting for a person just like you. Mm-hmm. If you put yourself out there, but the market will never trust you if it don't know you.
You got to be visible. That's it.
And she's not spending any money yet.
Right. Not as
much. And even put some context to that. The only reason why she closed 5 from that November video in December is because she decided to make a transition to a new brokerage. And, you know, when we talked, I was like, I don't see a reason for you to put all this money on the books if you're leaving this brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
So right. That was a November conversation. Her business is out of this world right now, where it brought her to tears to realize I finally figured this out. And it's a very interesting place to be when you realize the wealth is no longer in your hands. It's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Money is not it. That's not a problem for her anymore right now. Like it's a very unique place to be when your business gets to a place where you're financially, or you know, I figured this out.
Well, somebody told me one time, what if you had everything you needed to hit every goal you've ever set for yourself already? And we just always looking for the next shiny object. Next. And it's right in front of us. We just got to implement, right?
Right there.
I love it.
Pick your phone up and talk to it.
Right. So let's talk about how people can connect with you, because I've written like 10 pages of notes as we talked. I mean, I think you're a masterclass. I mean, I could talk to you for days.
Appreciate it.
But, I mean, just in really deep, high level. You obviously know what you're talking about at every level. Where can people connect with you, and how can people learn more from you?
If you look up Zillow Killer, one word, you'll find me everywhere. We do, if you guys on Clubhouse, we do a daily hour, just deep dive Q&A. I got a whole crew of practitioners that come in. We're honestly speaking, Jim, we cover the entire internet. Like everybody is a master at their own, from Pinterest on up, you name the platform, TikTok. I got a young protege, Giselle, is a monster, where she just got named top 100 female influencers on TikTok.
Wow.
So we got people that are really, really doing it at a very high level. Even just at my agency at Digital Natives, between Facebook, Ad Manager, and Google Ad Manager, we spend upward to almost $70,000 a day. So I can give you real insights on what's happening. But when I say the internet as a whole, we cover you. You come with the question, I promise you we can answer it. So we do that Monday through Friday in Clubhouse, here on Clubhouse. But everywhere else, just look up Zillow Killer. We have a very unique Facebook group that it's only real estate professionals allow. Whatever you do, you just have to be in the industry, from lender to attorney. If you're in the industry, we let you inside the group. There's no pitching, nothing to sell. And inside there, we made a very nice green zone. You can ask questions and not feel intimidated, right? We don't expect you to know this stuff, and you can get a real answer without being sold to, like, hey, here's part of it and buy this. Have nothing to sell you guys.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So good, man. You're doing a great service to the industry. Amazing stuff. I'm going to be right after this. I'm logging on to everything you got and signing up, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you
so much for giving me your time. I know your time is super valuable.
If you're looking for more ideas, tools, scripts, interviews, and strategies, check out erealestatecoach.com. At the site, you'll find an award-winning blog, starter kits, mastery courses, and the Path Performance Coaching. Also connect with Jim on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for erealestatecoach.com.